when I survey the wondrous cross. And I think about that last part of that last stanza, love so amazing, so divine, that it demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. That ought to be the natural response, so that he gave his life so willingly. And then as we were singing, I was thinking of a passage. I had a couple in my head, but I was thinking of Colossians chapter 1 that says this. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that's all of us, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We're reconciled. If you know Christ tonight, and you've trusted in him, and you've been born again, then you have been reconciled. And then it says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's how the Lord will present us to the Father, holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. What a great, great passage that is, and a great hymn that we sung. And then tonight, we have this opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. So I want us to go ahead and we'll turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at this preparation for the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, all right, that's going to take place. And the Lord is directing his disciples in this plan to prepare a room. But I want to read one passage real quick, just a couple verses. I didn't want to go here tonight, but this is the contrast of what we see here tonight, what we'll see in Luke 22. There was a church, the church at Corinth, that didn't do a good job of this. They were very, very carnal. You remember how he said, I can't speak as unto you as unto spiritual, but I have to speak to you as unto carnal, because you're babes. You're very immature. You're fleshly, and you guys are always bickering, and there's just schisms in the church and divisions. And so that was he loved them, though. Boy, I'll tell you, the back and forth, when you read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there's so much drama. There's a lot of drama in it, because they created a whole lot of drama. And they just had some issues, and they were they just walked after the flesh. They had come to trust Christ, but they hadn't grown in the things of the Lord. And then, so he says to them, after he chastises them for how they handled the Lord's Supper, they did not do a good job of it. They made a shambles of it. And he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That's talking about just God's judgment upon him. They weren't going to hell, those that were truly saved, but he says, there's going to be some judgment here, not discerning the Lord's body. And he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means the Lord took some home. There were many that were weak and sickly because they didn't handle this properly. And so that's where we look tonight at preparing our hearts. We're going to be looking at preparing a room, and it's easy to see that it transfers over to, listen, we're a house. We're a tabernacle. If we know Christ, the Bible says we're his temple, right? We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we've been bought with a price, so we don't belong unto ourselves. We belong to the Lord. So we are accountable as stewards and as servants to make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord. And certainly on a night like this, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we want to come in tonight with our hearts right. And we want them to be pleasing unto the Lord. That doesn't mean, listen, we all have our down days, we all fall into sin, and we have to just get that right and just be confessed before the Lord and our hearts right before him, and he's pleased with that. So we're going to take a look here at this preparation for the Passover, and I will start off in verse, I got to get back to it here. Luke chapter 22 is where we're at now, and in Luke 22 here, okay, and we'll start off here with verses 7 through 9. And he says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, and by the way, when you look at Matthew 26, this is just doesn't mean a whole lot, but when you it's good to do like a harmony of the Gospels. And if you read one account, maybe in Luke, look at your harmony of the Gospels, if you have that in your Bible, and see if that accounts in some of those other Gospels. See if it's in Matthew or in Mark or in John. And then when you look at the different accounts, you'll get different information, and the Lord set it up that way. Like when you look at Matthew, he just says two disciples. So you go, oh, I wonder who those two disciples were. And, you know, you might go the rest of your life never knowing who they were. But in Luke, it tells us who they are. So it says, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And then he says, and they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? Where wilt thou, Lord, that we prepare? So we'll just start right there. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into observing the Lord's Supper tonight. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we want to come to you with our hearts right before you. We want our hearts to be sober, and this is a solemn time, Lord. It always is when we approach you, certainly, Lord, but we don't want to be distracted. We want to acknowledge this and observe it in a manner that is pleasing unto you. We read in 1 Corinthians about the church there that they didn't do a good job with it, and you dealt with them about it, and we want our hearts to be right before you. I thank you for all those here tonight. I thank you for all those that are saved here tonight. I hope that everyone here is saved. But if not, Lord, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that we would do it in a manner that's pleasing unto you, just how you line it out in your word. And may we make sure that our hearts are pleasing and prepared before you. So we ask this now. We want Christ to be glorified in all of this. In his name we pray. Amen. So we see here in those passages, in those three verses, that Peter and John are sent to prepare the Passover feast. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ, our Passover. So this is when they are preparing, ready to prepare the Passover. You notice in verse 9, I like this. This is a good servant's words. And that is, where wilt thou that we prepare? Where do you want us to prepare, Lord? You know all things. Where do you want us to prepare? May our hearts be that way. May we always be yielded. May our will always be yielded unto him. Whatever he wants, Lord, show us. We'll do what you want us to do. Help us not to get in our own tangent, our own page, our own way. We don't want to do that. Help us to do what you want us to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3, it said, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And that's where we're to be. We're to just kind of turn things over to him and make sure that we yield to him on a regular basis. Again, I mentioned to you how our bodies, they're the temple of the Holy Spirit if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 10 says this, and he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. So now the Lord points them to the one, I'll put a capital O on that, to the one, a man bearing a pitcher of water who would lead them to the designated place, which is a house. And there is so much typology here, so much symbolism, a designated place. And so we know that for us here, a designated place is an assembly of believers. It's an assembly of believers. It's a local New Testament church. And that's what we have here, the opportunity for us as a body of believers to assemble together and to partake of what he wants us to partake in. Of course, this the Lord's Supper. Verse 11, it says, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? So we're looking at one who's going to lead us. They say to the goodman, would you show us where the guest chamber is? And this man, which is a clear indicator that this man, he's bearing a pitcher of water. Who would he represent? He would represent the Spirit of God. He'd represent the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. Again, he's the goodman of the house, and the Lord will guide. Again, it's a great picture of being led of the Spirit of God. We are commanded to be led of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. All of those things we're commanded to be. And so we see that happening here as they're preparing this room for the Lord's Supper. And then verses 12 and 13, and it says, "He shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." He'll show you a large upper room furnished, and there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So they went to a room that was furnished. It was prepared. That's where they were to make ready. We are going, here, that room that they're going into, that room represents our hearts. You know, we're a house, we're a temple, but in that temple are different rooms, and that place where our heart is, that's a significant room. That's where we're to guard that. You know, what does it say in Proverbs? I love that passage. I didn't write it down, but let me just turn to it and read how important that the heart is, that we're to guard it. It says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." And he continues to go on there, Solomon does, in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. So we're to guard our hearts and make sure that our hearts are right. Here is where we, again, make sure that our hearts are prepared and ready through some self-examination. Remember, we just read in 1 Corinthians 11, at least I read it, I didn't have you turn there, but he said, examine yourselves. And we're to take a good look and ask the Lord, "Lord, help me. I look in my heart. I want my life to be clean tonight. I want it to be pure as I take part in this." And so we're to make sure our hearts are ready through self-examination, through prayer. So let's make sure that the room is furnished tonight and complete, because, folks, the Lord is here. And what a blessing it is to know that we're in his presence. And then verses 14 through 18, "They now prepare to eat of the Passover," it says here. "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And so that which, again, this Passover, they prepare to eat the Passover, that which took place some 1,500 years earlier in Egypt when God was ready to deliver his people. That great deliverance that took place, it was a great salvation. Our salvation is pictured in that. The Bible says we were bondmen in Egypt, but when Christ saved us, we were set free, and we are no longer bond slaves, but we are been freed from that. So a couple things are brought forth. We'll take a look at Matthew chapter 26 now. We'll go to Matthew. All right, a couple things are brought forth here. Matthew chapter 26, and let's take a look at verses 20 through 25 here. "Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said." So as they're eating, he reveals that he's going to be betrayed. And then Judas had partaken of the Passover meal. But now Judas is going to depart. If you look in John chapter 13, this is where Satan enters him, right here. You don't see it in this passage, but when you go to John chapter 13, verse 26 through 30, I'll turn there and read from that passage of Scripture. And I think it's, it's an amazing thing. Obviously, the Lord knew it the whole time, but you have, within the ranks of those 12 disciples, you have a man that was going to betray the Lord. He was with the Lord that whole time, those three and a half years, the Lord knew he was a betrayer. And yet, even toward the end, he tried to reach Judas, but Judas had made up his mind that he wasn't going to follow the Lord. And so it says here in John chapter 13, and this is after the Lord had washed the disciples' feet, and now this is right at that point where we were just reading in the book of Luke. It says in chapter 13 here in verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." That now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. So no one caught it. Maybe it was said in more of a whisper or quietly, and they were minding their own, they were talking or whatever, but no one heard it. And it said, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. You know, they're just trying to fill in the blanks. Why did he go? Where's he going? Maybe he's got to do something with the bag. You know, he carried the bag of money. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So you see that the first thing that takes place with this, of course, is that the Lord reveals that he would be betrayed. And then the second thing is we go back to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, we'll see the Lord's Supper is now revealed to them. This is new. The Lord's going to bring forth here at the tail end of the Passover meal. He's going to institute the Lord's Supper. This is an ordinance for the New Testament church. So right here in verses 26 through 29, he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So the Lord's Supper now, this is something that he reveals to them, that the Lord is going to institute this incredible ordinance that his people are to partake of from time to time. He didn't say how often. Every pastor does it differently. Some maybe more often, some maybe not so much. But that is something that they have to determine before the Lord. And of course, we do it to remember what he did. And my thinking, just in my common sense thinking, I think if you do it too much, you can almost become numb to it. It can almost become routine. That's the fear of that. And then you don't want to allow it to be too far apart because it is something so special and so blessed. And I was speaking to someone recently and said, yeah, it kind of got away from me because it was a little while from the last time we had the last one. It was, I think it was in April, and normally we would have had it by now. And so time just got by with the busyness, but I really look forward to this night to be able to do this with every one of you. So we do this in remembrance of what he did for us. So as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, let me just bring out just some important thoughts here for every one of us to just take notice of or take note of. And that is, again, that we come to this as we partake of it very, very sober-minded, very, very serious about this, a solemn approach in partaking the Lord's Supper. Amen? Amen. Certainly. And making sure that our heart is right before him with sin confessed. Again, this is only for those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who know him as their personal Savior. And that could be that would be man or woman or boy or girl. And I would add along with this, as I've done since we've begun to do this here in this church, is to also have been scripturally baptized, because that's the other ordinance. And you know, there's just a solid level of commitment seen in that ordinance, and I think that that's an important thing. So if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how young you are, and you've been scripturally baptized, and then this is not just for members of this church only, all right? It's not just for members, but for anyone who is saved and scripturally baptized. So it's not closed, but it's close to Christ. Just making sure your hearts are right. And so, you know, you don't have to be a part of this church. You don't have to be a member of this church, but you are welcome to partake of it. It's just between you and the Lord. I can't police your hearts. You can partake of it, and your heart can be a dirty rat, you know, and with sin unconfessed, and that's not a good thing. But I can't patrol your heart or police your heart. You have to do that between you and the Lord, and I have to do that between myself and the Lord. So again, understand, children, they're certainly welcome to take part of this, again, if they're saved and they've been baptized. But again, it's something that's not to be taken lightly. It's not a snack for kids, and so we don't treat this lightly. So at this time, I'm going to have my deacons come forward. We'll have the deacons come, and what we'll do is when they get up here, we're just going to take a little bit of time, just a short time of quiet before the Lord, where we can just make sure that our hearts, that the Lord examines our hearts, that we would just make sure that our hearts are right before Him. So just in quietness here for a short little bit, let's just go before the Lord and let Him examine our hearts. God bless you. I'm going to have now the men come forward, and I'm going to ask the men to distribute the bread at this time. Okay. Thank you, brother. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Jason Jones if you'd pray over the bread.
Dear Father, again, we thank you so much for this evening that we get gathered together and reflect on what you did for us on the cross. Father, how you so many years ago died. You gave yourself for us.
Amen. Thank you.
Your body was broken willingly. And Father, again, thank you so much for the gift of salvation, the opportunity you've given us to live forever with you. And Lord, we just think of, again, and remember the time that you spent on that cross.
Yes, thank you.
How you were just willing, Father. We thank you for it. In his name I pray.
Amen. Now, right there in that passage in Matthew 26, in verse 26, he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, there's a few words added to that that says, "This do in remembrance of me." And so with that. Amen. If you men will distribute the cup. Thank you. This time I'm going to ask Brother John Jordan if you'd pray over the cup. Thank you, brother.
Father God, as we come to you, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that blood that was shed.
Amen.
To wash away our sins. The Bible tells us we are not redeemed with corruptible things, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot and without blemish. And Father, we know that that blood is efficacious even today.
Amen. Yes.
So Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for dying for us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And right there in that passage, in verses 27 and 28, it says, "And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And those words are real clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as well. But there's some extra words that I'll just bring that 1 Corinthians 11 says, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Thank you, men. And as the men are heading out, they can collect the cups from you. And thank you again. Now we'll continue here in Matthew chapter 26. And verse 29 says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And verse 30, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples head out to the Mount of Olives. He agonizes in the garden. If you go a little further and you look at verses 38 and 39, "And his soul is exceedingly sorrowful," as it says in 38 and 39. And then he's betrayed. He's betrayed by Judas in verse 50. You look at verse 50, and when Judas is there in front with that band of soldiers, Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Friend. He looks to him and says, "Friend, what are you doing?" Wow. Judas had made that decision. How much love the Lord Jesus Christ has. And then he's taken before the high priest Caiaphas in verse 57. And so this thing rolls forward. Then he goes before the council in verse 59, as you can see there. And then he goes before Pilate in chapter 27 and verse 2. He's now before Pilate. And then he goes to Herod. Now you'll have to go to Luke, and Luke chapter 23 and verse 7 says that. Then he goes back to Pilate again, and that's in Luke 23, 11. And he was given the death sentence as the crowd mocked him. And in Matthew 27, verses 31 through 35, it says this, "And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.'" Well, folks, his love for us was great. I mean, so great, it's incomprehensible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He loved the world. He gave his life for the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." But we know he's risen again. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. He's risen again. I love this passage here in Matthew 28, and we'll take a look at that. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. And we looked a little bit at this, not in this particular chapter, this morning, with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but before that, the Lord had resurrected, and they weren't aware of it, but this is what took place. It says in Matthew 28, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, 'Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay.'" Praise the Lord, we serve a risen Savior. Yep. who gave his life for us. And we have this blessed opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper tonight and to thank the Lord for the fact that he allowed his body to be broken and he allowed his precious blood to be shed on our behalf. Nobody else's body or blood could ever suffice for what he did. He was the perfect sacrifice, one who had never sinned. Amen?
Amen.
What a great, great thing. Well, let's go ahead and just have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn tonight. Brother Stan, I think, is going to come with a hymn. But Father, we thank you tonight. We're grateful to you. Thank you for this opportunity to partake of your supper, the Lord's Supper. What a wonderful thing that you've allowed this for the church to partake of. We thank you, Lord, that of what you've given to us, and the great sacrifice that you made, how you love us. We can't even comprehend it, but help us, Lord, to praise you, to thank you. Lord, help us to get a good dose of it each and every day of all that you've done for us. So we thank you tonight for a very, very special night. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.